H is for the hard times that you went through. E is for everything that you endured. A is for all the things that you had to do. R is for the really hard things that you had to do. T is for all the things that you had to do. Because your heart is large. Your heart is large for boxing. You have a large heart. Music.
The New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Haven't we already talked about this movie?
Not quite. And Erica.
I took care of you guys when you were in bed, when you were hurt, when you couldn't record. I took care of you. Not Nikki, me. Me. I took care of you guys.
See, we did talk about this movie.
No, no. And we are in March Madness, where we're talking about all the movies, a few of the movies that New World released about sports.
We're talking about the same movie twice.
Well, there are two boxing movies. We did talk about a boxing movie, and now we're talking about another boxing movie, and that's for sure. But this one's a different one, and not one I think a lot of people have seen. So this is a rare one.
Okay, is it different? It has the same plot as the movie we talked about last week. The only thing missing from
Rock
this
Courage?
One is
wait a minute. Did he get chased by some motorcycle gang while he was training at the gym?
2 weeks ago.
On his way home?
Two weeks ago.
Got it. Oh,
2 weeks ago.
I was like, oh, did I watch the wrong movie?
I just think that my copy was missing the musical montage that would have really tied this and our movie from 2 weeks ago back together.
This movie is about Christian Slater and his heart is enlarged, right?
That's Untamed Heart.
Okay, but I did watch the wrong movie, but I don't care because I loved every minute of it.
I did when I told my wife what movie we were watching. She said, "Is that the one where he gets a baboon heart?" And I said, "No, that's not the same movie."
Don't disillusion her. Just say, "Yep, that's right." You're going to start to go, oh, you know what that podcast they're doing is worthwhile.
Maybe I will listen to an episode.
Right. Nope. Instead, we are talking about 1987's Heart.
Tonight, Eddie Brennan has a ringside seat for the main event.
Can't keep losing $100 fights, Eddie. What the hell is left?
A forgotten man who cannot forget.
You're not a kid anymore, Eddie. You should be trying to think about changing your life.
Shadow boxing with his past.
Got the very definite feeling I'm dealing with a lost cause here.
We're not looking for a palooka. We want to make a fight.
We're talking TV money, no more $100 bouts.
What do you want to lose it for?
What are you talking about? You ain't no loser.
Eddie, these people don't care about you.
You know, Eddie's getting old. At this point in his life, it'd make a lot of sense for him to go down once in a while.
At least I got a fight. What do you got?
A future.
There's no one in Eddie Brennan's corner.
Okay, we're on.
We don't want to hear about any lucky punches. No accidents.
No one but Eddie Brennan.
That kid ain't gonna knock me out.
Did it ever occur to you that the only reason they got you for this fight is because they knew you were gonna lose?
He's taken a beating all his life, but they've never laid a glove on his heart.
You know what you did tonight? Nothing. You know what you changed?
Nothing.
Academy Award nominee Brad Davis is Eddie Brennan. And Eddie Brennan is all heart.
That's right, 1987's Heart, sponsored by cockfights. It just isn't a New World movie if it doesn't have a cockfight. And who wouldn't want one? Cockfights offer you everything you could want. Fierce competition. The thrill of the unknown as you gamble away your life savings based on no real metric you can discern. And they provide an excellent place to conduct a business meeting.
Yes.
Cockfights. They're underground, but cockfights. They're underground, but overly fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That cockfighting scene made me feel like I was right back at home.
Yeah. I mean, we're in double digits for like movies that had cockfights from New World, right? I mean, at this point, I mean, it just feels like a ton. It's a blur. There's so many.
I feel like if there isn't a cockfight, I'm watching the wrong movie.
Yeah. Then we need to take it out and watch something else. This isn't right.
Don't worry. I'll put a ton of cockfights in steaming. Audio wink.
Haven't talked about steaming in a while. Erica's all male version of steaming.
Steaming. Starring a bunch of dudes.
And if you think it's steaming with an apostrophe, it's actually steam. N-M-E-N. Steamin.
Ooh, audio trademark on that. I didn't even think about that. Ooh, steamin. Ooh.
I know, right? However, Heart is directed and co-written by James Lemo in his directorial debut. Lemo had been a cinematographer for Abel Ferrara's Ms. 45 and William Lustig's Vigilante, amongst others. He would continue to work with both directors while he also was directing films as well, which he only directed a handful up until the year 2000. And then he kind of stopped in general with movies, and now he's a photographer.
I thought you were going to say, now he does audiobooks.
Right, yeah, maybe. now he's a stockbroker. Like, he goes the other direction.
Right.
Lemo met his co-writer, Randy Jurgensen, on Vigilante. Jurgensen has his own unique entry to Hollywood, which began when he was a police officer in his native New York. He was also in Korea as well, and then he left Korea, became a police officer in New York, and he was involved in the heroin bust that was the basis for the French Connection, and he even worked as a technical advisor for that movie, and then began getting small acting roles, including playing the toll booth guy who kills Sonny in The Godfather. That's a small spoiler for you, Erica, but, you know, will you ever see it? I don't think so. So I think it's fine.
I feel like in a way I've already seen it.
I mean, after that, who needs
to piece together and jump to conclusions? And I've basically seen it.
And there's no cockfighting in The Godfather.
No.
Oh, God. Now I actually do want to watch it. That'd be a nice escape.
He also had a small role in New World's God Told Me To from director Larry Cohen. And he also got along so well, I guess, with William Friedkin because he also played a small role in Cruising, which is also based on a case that he helped bust as well when he was a police officer. So he basically leaves the force and starts writing, producing movies, not just this, but other movies. But he co-wrote this one, and he told the Standard Star in August 1987, "It isn't a boxing movie. It's really the story of a man who boxes." So
I'm having a hard time differentiating those two.
Nope, two different things, two different concepts.
I noticed that as well as a connoisseur of films.
I'm not a podcaster. I'm a man who podcasts.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
This stars Brad Davis, known mostly for 1978's Midnight Express, for which he won the Golden Globe, and a small role in Chariots of Fire. Prior to this, he had appeared in the TV miniseries Robert Kennedy and His Times. That's the name of it. Robert Kennedy and His Times. A three-part miniseries.
Sounds riveting.
Yeah. Like, ooh, what are his times about? Curious. And the Italian-American...
Well, we all know how that's going to end.
Yeah, oops, yeah. Spoiler. I guess Erica's seen it then.
I've seen it.
By her.
Yep. Been there, done logic. That. Mm-hmm.
Know the ending. I'm good. Uh-huh. Let me guess. He was Bobby Kennedy the entire time? I've seen it.
Yes.
Oh, boy. But he was also in the Italian-American Showtime movie Blood Ties. Oh, man, did I search in vain to see if that was a New World one. Oh, I was so hoping, but it's not.
So many hours lost.
Oh, I was, please, somehow become a New World movie. And he was also in the 1983 miniseries Chiefs, which was released on video by New World Video.
Oh, yes, yeah. It was.
Chiefs.
Oh, Chiefs. This is about the Kansas City Chiefs, right? So.
Nope. Otherwise, we would have gotten to it this month.
Oh, we were this close to getting that whole Swifties crowd to get into our podcast.
Boy, the 1983 close. Chiefs. Ooh, I don't know. How exciting was it back in 1983?
I don't recall them having a dynasty at that time, but... You know, I could be wrong.
Oh, man. Unless the second half of that title is of staff, this is going to be a really tough movie to talk about.
They were, the Kansas City Chiefs in 1983 were 6-10 and were fifth in the AFC West. So
sounds like the making of a TV series.
Let's see three episodes on that. How did they lose those 10 games? I'm curious. This also stars Steve Buscemi, who is not in his... This isn't his debut, but it is still early on in his career. Buscemi was getting occasional film roles while also still doing theater in New York. Around this time, he shot his role in Vibes, right around the time he shot this. I think he shot it right before this movie. And he appeared in three thrillers, two of which came out this year and one just after in 1988, called Kiss Daddy Goodnight, Call Me,
yikes,
and Heart of Midnight, starring Jennifer Jason Leigh from New World's Sister's Sister.
Ooh.
I'm not afraid to look the dead in the face.
Is that how we remember her?
Yeah, that's how everybody has to remember.
That's how everyone remembers
that's
her.
That's how she introduces herself. Hi, mm-hmm. I'm Jennifer Jason Leigh from New World Sister's Sister.
And everybody's like, oh, we know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell
we're
us.
We're aware.
Sure.
We're aware.
Oh, you were dating Eric Stoltz at the time? We know all about it, please.
Yeah.
Please tell me that you were able to keep that hat from the set.
Right. The Swifties of their day, I guess we're all over that. But anyway, none of these were also released by New World, unfortunately, but most two of the three were released by Vestron. So we are all set once we start the Vestron cast.
Man,
that's part of my retirement plan.
once we reach retirement age, we'll be like, well, we've wrapped it up on New World. Let's move on to Vestron.
That's going to have to be when AI takes over. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't wait to see AI Erica. It's going to be a mess. But AI Erica is going to have to take over for that.
All right. Here's where you can watch Heart. And I imagine many people haven't watched it. Here's where you can watch it. Our YouTube page. I took the VHS. I ripped it. It's on there. So far, there's no issue. So.
Wow.
But I would just. You know, if you're interested, you want to watch it, I would get to it quick because we did recently have one of our movies taken down another one. I should say, I should be specific. Now, it wasn't a copyright strike, but it was still taken down, which is maybe good news. It's Zombie Nightmare was on our page. Got quite a few views, so that's good. People hopefully got to enjoy the movie while it was there. But my hope is that it got taken down because maybe somebody's going to put out a nice Blu-ray of it. I don't know. Fingers crossed that's why they took it down. But
I will be pre-ordering that one for sure.
Very excited if that's the case. But
I bet that detective took it down because it technically classifies as evidence. And so he can't leave it up because he's still working that case, trying to figure it out.
Hey, Frank. I love that guy, that coroner. I need it for a case. Take down that movie. But now it's time to find out what this movie is about. Let's find out what Heart is about. Mark, let's start with you.
An aging boxer refuses to give up on his dream of winning a big fight. He gets knocked down, but he gets up again because nothing's going to keep him down. He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a lentil soup drink. He drinks a coffee drink. He drinks a water drink. He tells stories that remind him of the good times. He tells stories that remind him of the better times. Why? Because he gets knocked down, but he gets up again because nothing's going to keep him down.
Are those the real lyrics?
There isn't any mention of a lentil drink.
I was like, I need to listen to that song. If there's a lentil drink, if there's the soup mentions, I've missed that. Erica, what is this movie about?
This movie's about, you know, that one coworker who takes a bunch of time off work and comes back, like, kind of looking a little beat up, but, like, also sort of ripped?
Yep. Yep. I mean, I've never had that happen personally, but I understand where you're going with this.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Right.
Yeah.
And you ask them, what'd you do on your time off? And they say, nothing.
I got in a fight. Like, and then you're like, oh, you got in a fight. Tell me more. And then the boss is like, tweet, get back to work. You know?
These VCRs are going to load themselves on the lift.
Come on. Boss just blew his work whistle. Guess we got to get back to work. So, yeah, coworkers do weird stuff.
They do. Speaking of, I thought this movie was about a boxing trainer who's doing his damnedest to get this guy in shape, but he just won't listen, that son of a bitch.
He won't. He's a one-track mind.
He won't.
Well, okay,
don't
will
even
not.
Try. Don't
we'll
try.
Get into more, but he suddenly kicks into gear, but it is, I guess, by his own volition. I don't know. His own steam men. I don't know. Here's the Letterboxd synopsis. We're on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you can. Eddie Brennan, once a boxer with a killer right. His trainer keeps saying he still has a killer right. They all talk about him having a killer right.
Just going to throw out there, you could also have used that same line for the prizefighter.
That's true.
He did have a killer right.
He did. That's very true.
Continue. This is only reaffirming my suspicion that we watched the movie twice.
Is now a has-been who loads trucks for a living.
Mostly trucks.
Yeah.
Mostly trucks.
I mean, he's still doing $100 fights as well.
And he was on the news.
A worn-out boxer who dreams of making a comeback seems the perfect candidate. This seems like a totally separate synopsis. Like, they're like, cool, that one's fine. Let's try another one. A worn-out boxer who dreams of making a comeback seems the perfect candidate for a rigged fight against an up-and-coming young fighter. ..
That's just it. Like the prize fighter.
But it's not a rigged fight.
It was a rigged fight in the prize fighter. He was supposed to lose. And that's why the mobster was set him up for the big fight.
Shit, this is all making
it's
sense.
It's the same fucking movie.
I'm bored.
Oh no.
I'm bored. Oh, no. I want to go to the carnival.
Bored. Oh, no. Well, much like the prize fighter, when we open the movie, it's an opening fight and it doesn't go well. But it's not going well for Eddie Brennan, who just never saw a punch he didn't want to take. You know, he just was like, just give me all your punches. I want to take them. I want to eat. I'm going to eat them for breakfast. Mm-hmm. He gets all beat up. Just gets sitting on the ropes and you're like, oh boy, this isn't going well. Things aren't going well for him in general, not just the fight, but all over the place. Life's not good for Eddie, right? He even sees some footage of himself on TV boxing. Though I would argue, was that him?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell on that 8.5-inch screen that he's watching it on.
True. But, which is what we all had to watch TV on back in the day, kids.
Which you'd think, you know, compared to your cell phone, that's pretty large. But imagine it. Imagine there being like a lot of cotton balls stuck to the screen of your cell phone, and you have to try to watch it through that. That's what the quality was then.
Yeah, it's like getting, you watch it on your phone, but with bad reception. So you're right. It's all sort of pixelated.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue his strategy in the beginning, which I thought this is what they were going to go for, is that he is one of those fighters that can take a punch, and he's going to let the other fighter beat up on him because he can take punches, but in beating up on him, it's going to wear down the
other guy,
boxer.
Right. Sort of the Muhammad Ali approach that he took.
Right. Yeah. But they never established that as an actual strategy.
Nope.
He just doesn't like to defend until he goes on offense. He's an all offense guy. He's not a defensive guy.
You could also argue he was just seeing how many punches he could take.
Right.
Just for like future fights. Like. Yeah. He's like, how many can I take before I truly go down and I can't make heads or tails of anything around me? Mm-hmm. And then I'll just try to make sure I don't get that next time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're a boxer, I've never been one, so I can't say for myself, but that is a little bit of a curiosity, right? How many can I take? And I wonder if you try to keep count and say, in that fight, I took 56 punches to the head.
Yeah.
And I still remembered my name the next day, mostly.
I think for me, I was still thinking, I know this is 1986, 87. It's $100, even if you win. And I have to imagine some of that goes to Steve Buscemi. You know, some of it goes to his trainer. Like, that doesn't seem like a lot.
No, it doesn't.
That's a lot to go through for, like, not much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you get the mobsters involved with this, which are your nameless, faceless mobsters, like your nameless, faceless bureaucrats that you love so much, Ryan. These are just your generic mobster
types. Excellent characters, you're right.
They are... It doesn't seem like there's a lot of upside for them either. What they're going to make, maybe a couple grand, which I know is a lot of money, but it's not enough to like run a mobster empire off of.
Yeah.
Right.
Even at that point in time, it's not, you're like, wow, well, I guess after this fight, we're good for life. Like, it's not enough. You're like, this ought to do for a while. This will be cool. But then we'll also need something else soon. Because this isn't going to last forever, even in the mid to late 80s. Yeah, it just seems like a lot for very little money. I felt like this was written in the 60s or something. It was like, you know, when it was like $100 fights, ooh la la. But like, it's like, what's 1986? $100? I know it's more than now, but still feels like not a ton, you know, considering you're getting your ass whooped in the ring. But
someone tapped James Lemo's shoulder and was like, maybe we should update these dollar amounts because this script was written in 1945. And he went, no, I'm not. I don't do that. I
had a vision. I
follow the script.
I had a vision. I was 8 and I had a vision and I want to keep it that way.
I feel like it was that priced like that because it just made it sadder. This movie's not a good time, so, you know, it just makes sense that...
Yeah. What?
That they're only paying him $100 is just like, geez.
Yeah,
this guy
is
must
the
have
sad,
a lot of
sad.
Heart to only get paid $100 and still want to do this.
That's right. That's true. That's the movie.
I mean, I'll admit, there was at no point in watching this movie did I laugh out loud. But...
That makes it more like The Prize Fighter, then.
I also didn't laugh out loud during The Prize Fighter. So, right.
Still the same. Yeah.
Same.
Still the same.
And Steve Buscemi is doing his damnedest to be the Don Knotts of this movie, right? Am I right?
I listened to an interview, was trying to find anything he said about this movie. He did talk about the fact that he does kind of look like Don Knotts, and that's a reference in, I think, a movie called In the Soup. There's a reference to him looking like Don Knotts, which I was like, oh, wow, that is funny. Considering
I did not know that before I made my previous comment, and I'm really proud of myself for drawing
there you go.
That
there
thread.
You go. But getting back to Eddie, he does want a good fight, but how good is it when the purse is $500? Like, that's certainly better, but I just still feel like the economics here are not.
I guess that could cover your rent, but it's not going to cover your utilities, right? I mean, I still feel like you've got to do another fight in the same month to get things paid for. Although maybe he's making a lot of money in that factory.
Getting $500 now, I would be like, holy shit, look at me. But I don't know if I want to like train for weeks and weeks and weeks of a grueling training schedule and then get up there and have a man pummel me with his fists and be like, well, at least I'm getting $500.
Right.
It just seems like
weeks and weeks and weeks of not working and not making any money so you can get your ass beat and get $500.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like the math isn't penciling out on that one.
Yeah, I know. It's
all about... not about math, you suckers. It's all about heart. I don't think he even got paid for that very last one. He just got a ride home. That's it.
He does. The very last fight, he kind of like leaves with the crowd.
Right.
It's like, that was sad.
That's unceremonious as a guest right there. No one's even like, hey, good job. They're just like, oh, this guy, huh? This guy's leaving with us? Hey, this, we got a full cab here, so I don't know if we're going to be able to take you home, my man.
We got a full cab. You're covered in sweat and blood. I think you can't ride with us. I'm sorry. Yeah. We
I don't
enjoyed
know if that's
the fight. But...
if that's why you're walking out with us, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a towel you can lay down on the seat? Because you are really sweaty and bloody.
You're
yucky. Pretty gross. Yeah, you're yucky.
I have cloth seats, and that's just not going to work.
But as much as he wants to do this fight, no one else wants him to, and that is his boss, his girlfriend, who's played by Frances Fisher of Unforgiven and Pink Cadillac fame. She also was in a relationship with Clint Eastwood for a little while, and they have a daughter together. But prior to this, she had been in the crime soap opera The Edge of the Night, and also Tough Guys Don't Dance for Canon Films, released on Blu-ray a few years ago by Vinegar Syndrome, and an excellent movie if you have not watched it. Absolutely bonkers.
Hey, Ryan, do you think I've watched it?
I don't think so. I think you put it, though, you put it in front of The Godfather, and you were like, let's watch this before The Godfather, for sure.
Yeah, I feel that way about most things.
Buscemi wants to fix the fight. That's one way he knows he can make some money, and, you know, I kind of don't blame him on this. I don't feel that bad about it when you're having a guy that you're managing who's only doing $100 fights and he keeps losing them. You're like, man, I got to make some money here. But Eddie's trainer, Buddy, does not want to.
Look, you just said it yourself. Eddie doesn't have a chance against my will. So what's your problem?
What's my problem? What, are you losing your mind? What happens if Eddie gets in a lucky punch and knocks Manuel on his ass? What are you going to tell those people?
Will you keep your voice down?
You won't be able to tell them anything because your brains will be all over your jacket.
Did you work with Eddie today? How did he look? I'll tell you. Old, tired, no speed, no wind. Am I right? And answer me this. Can Manuela take a punch? No, he can't. He's got a head like this friggin' wall. And you're gonna tell me you really believe Eddie can knock out a guy like that?
Well, stranger things have happened.
Oh, sure. Well, here's another little thing you should consider. They offered a grand for me, a grand for Eddie, and 500 for you. So if Eddie don't know nothing, we'll split his share 50-50.
50-50?
Yeah, right up the middle. Have I ever told you wrong? Come on, let's go seal the deal, Miranda.
I'm not sure I like this, Nikki. Eddie can still punch.
Oh, stop worrying about it, will you?
Ha ha! Good times. We're having fun riding the prize fighter. Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Nope. No, I'm sorry. This is hard. I apologize. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mark, you've confused me. You're throwing me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't sound like Don Knotts' voice, but, no, you know,
it looked
it
like
might have been the VHS
like
copy.
Him. Your buddy, by the way, is played by Frank Adu, who had a very small part in Chud. And has got nothing but small roles in a bunch of other movies. He's very good in this. It's a bummer he didn't have a bigger breakout role. He's really good in this. But of course, this fight that they're talking about is one that Steve Buscemi has set up with some of the mobster guys that he knows. And they are trying to get just a easy guy to go up against their boxer who's on the up and up. And they want to get a fight that can get them some attention, but they certainly don't want anything he's going to lose. And that's why they're throwing him to Eddie. And everybody knows it but Eddie, and they decide on a plan. I'm gonna say this as if it plays a huge role in the movie, but it kind of doesn't, where they're like, don't tell him about our plan. He doesn't know it's a fix, which does build to a certain moment towards the end, but not really anywhere else. And it isn't the big dramatic moment that you think this is all setting up, but they're not going to tell him and let him train. But he's not training well, and Eddie's trainer is not pleased with the fight or Eddie's training.
No.
But he's not liking his training, but he does, all of a sudden, Eddie does kick in to training mode, and we do sort of get a training montage where he suddenly gets into it for reasons I didn't quite catch. Did anyone catch what happened? Why is he suddenly...
Because he has a lot of heart. Don't forget, it's in the title. He's got a lot of heart. Just when you think he's going to give up, he just taps into his heart.
It's true.
Right. You would think that he would be trying to say things like, hey, I just read in Ring Magazine that the new training style is to eat as many Philly cheesesteaks as possible every day. And, you know what? Running isn't what it used to be. It's actually bad for your knees. It's better if you just sit, because that keeps you limber, you know.
Yep.
Sit and fit.
I'll just sit and lift my legs up. Do a little leg lifts.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Right. Be fit. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. That's you know, the new era of training.
I see some ads on social media stuff where they're like, do this for 7 minutes. Different training exercises. Mm-hmm. You're doing it all while you're seated on a chair. And I'm like, that's a training regimen I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Eddie should have done. He's wasting all this time hitting the bag and running, and my Lord.
It would have been funnier if while he was running, Eddie was driving in a car next to him, and while running, he would accidentally crash into just a rando woe-be-gone fruit cart that was set up on the side of the road.
That would be exactly like Prize Fighter, but yes, it would have... And I would argue, I don't know if it's honestly that funny.
It would have been funnier.
It would have been funnier than the scenario we got, which,
right.
You know, which to be fair to the movie, was not played for any sort of laughs.
Right. It was just a straight, serious training montage.
Or is this movie like one of those movies that's so serious you'd kind of miss the fact that it's being hilarious? I don't know. Is it?
Right.
I don't know.
It is like a black comedy of the deepest sense, right? That you're not getting the jokes.
You're like,
when they screened it for the first time, the director was like, why is nobody laughing?
Right.
Nobody's getting my jokes.
This is a comedy. I don't get it.
I'm ruined.
I mean, it was pretty funny when Jeannie breaks up with him. And, I mean, she breaks up hard. She writes a note, clears out her clothes, quits her job, presumably, cancels her tap card for the subway, changes her ID, gets a new passport, moves to another country. I mean,
under a new name.
When she breaks up with everything.
She's like, got to invent a whole new identity. Not that I've done this before. This is not my first breakup.
Jeannie, you don't have to change everything.
Jeannie, my name is Alice. Oh, no, sorry. That was two identities ago. I'm sorry. You're right. I am Jeannie now, but I won't be tomorrow. So
tomorrow, I'm just Jane. Okay?
Jane.
Just Jane.
I have to keep it close because I've had a lot of breakups, so I can't go too far. It's just too hard to remember everything.
But so that's funny, right? She breaks up with everyone in the town.
Yeah. In the town of New York. it's in the town of Queens.
It's a small borough. It's just
she's just moving to borough to borough, changing her identity. No one will ever find me.
What you don't see is the long cab ride he had to take to Staten Island to finally meet up with her at the end of the movie.
There's not a lot you see at the end of the movie. We're almost there. We all know this is going to end with a big fight. Obviously, it's going to end with a big fight. Everything is leading up to this. And it does start with the exact same way it starts in the very beginning, where he gets very pummeled like he just did. And you start to go, uh-oh, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Right.
But you've seen boxing movies. So, I mean, enough said, right?
It also happened in The Prize Fighter. You know, it looks like things are going to end badly. But uh-oh.
I would hand it to Hart that this is a better end fight than Prize Fighter. I'm going to hand it to Hart there on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Eric is unconvinced. You kind of know what's going to go on, but you don't know what's going to happen after the fight. And after the fight, the movie just kind of ends.
Well, they threaten to smack. The mobsters think that he's in on
taking the money, right?
And that he took the money and he didn't fall like he should have. And so they do threaten to smash his arm with a mechanical press, but ultimately have a change of heart and just drop him off in Staten Island.
Yeah, and just give him a ride home instead, like gangsters do. You know what? Right. Hey, we're sorry, buddy. Let us give you a ride home. Make sure you get home safe.
We're about to ruin your career. Let's take you home. I think there's a reason why, and I think Buddy gets to it. Eric has been alluding to it this whole episode.
It takes a guy with a lot of heart.
That's it. I mean, that's all it really takes.
What else do you need to know?
He was a 10-round fighter.
That's right.
I'm a 186-round podcaster.
You can go another 86. You got to keep training.
We've done 185 episodes, so this is my soft way of saying goodbye, everybody.
Oh no!
You don't get to leave before I get to leave.
What? I mean, I have a resignation letter already. Ready to go.
Nope. I got money. I got money on this podcast that I'm going to be the first one. I got it rigged. Yeah, I'm going to be the first one out. And that's then everybody's getting paid.
You got a cool 500 heading your way.
Yeah. Guys,
I've got a crisp 500.
I have been paying to have this podcast take a fall so another podcast can do very well.
So far, you're succeeding.
It's going great, guys.
Good job.
It's going
great.
For the other podcast.
Great job. Of course.
That's funny. This has been a lot of fun, and it seems like just a natural segue to talk about things we loved and things we punch, hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we loved, the things we hated about Hart. Mark, what's something you loved?
I really loved the sound design of this movie. So they keep the music mostly at a minimum and they just focus on everyday.
They keep a lot of the volume at a minimum too.
Right. But
I mean, it's a little hard to hear at times.
Before they go into the fight, they're sitting in the training room and there's no music playing. In fact, it shows how incredibly depressing and boring it would have been waiting for your name to be called to go and fight, because you're just sitting there with your trainers getting taped up. And once you're taped up, you just sit there and sip water. But they have the sounds of cutting the tape off the hands. During the fight, there's a lot of sound on the mouth guard going in and all the sounds that are happening around them trying to deal with the cut on his eye. And it's one of the things I just love when movies do that. A great example is Dragged Across Concrete, which I know a lot of people don't love, but I love that movie. And one of the reasons I love it is all the mics are pressed right up to everybody. So every mouth sound, every sound of a wrapper being unwrapped, you can hear really crisp and clear, which I mean, that's just like the sounds of everyday life. And you don't normally get those sounds in a movie. Granted, in this movie, it's all overdubbed, but they still put a lot of effort into that sound design. And I really enjoyed listening to all just the little sounds of the life of a boxer.
Mark is into movies just for the ASMR. That's that's all he's really into movies for. Some people like performances. Some people like, the special effects. Mark's in it for the ASMR. Just give me some cool sounds, guys. That's what I'm into it for. Especially crunching sounds of dragged across concrete. Mark's putting that one on before bed. He's like, oh, listen to all that. This is great. I feel so comfortable.
I read people complaining about that movie because there is a scene where Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn are sitting in the cop car and Vince Vaughn eats an entire sandwich. Well, Mel Gibson's super annoyed with him, and they keep it on them of him eating the sandwich. And people were like, I read reviews. We were like, what the fuck is happening with this movie? Why is this movie spending 5 minutes watching Vince Vaughn eat a sandwich? And I fucking love that scene because it just takes its time. It's just taking its time while Vince Vaughn eats a sandwich.
Mark is a test case for like people that are looking forward to AI taking over so they can just have AI create a little movie for them. Yes. AI, could you make a movie about two guys just sitting in a car while one guy eats a sandwich? That's all I need.
That's all I need. I just need montages of people eating a sandwich.
I don't need high stakes. Yeah. I don't need drama. I don't need comedy. I don't need a mystery. Nope. I don't need anything. I just need a guy eating a sandwich. Erica, what is something you loved?
Wait. So what you loved about Heart was Vince Vaughn eating a sandwich in another movie? Just so I'm clear. Just so I understand what you loved.
Well, it did make me want to watch Dragged Across Concrete again.
Okay.
So I don't need another reason.
While watching Heart, it made you think of another better movie. Okay. I can relate.
That's all right. My movie that I like to watch like that too is Blue Ruin. We both like comfort movies that are like they shouldn't be comfort movies. There's nothing comfortable about this.
No, it's anyway, not.
Erica,
thank
something you
for
you
picking
loved.
Me up on that, Ryan.
You, I gotcha. Erica, something you loved.
Are you sneaking?
What did you love, hon?
Shut up and I'll tell you.
But tell me, damn. What did you tell me now, though? Go ahead and say it now.
Damn, give me a minute.
But what about right here? Say it now.
I'll get and there. We'll get to it. It.
And
we'll get
now,
to it. We'll get it. There. I loved that I got to see a movie with young Steve Buscemi.
Okay, yeah.
That's all.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
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 So.
Okay. Interesting.
So you really like this movie, is what
I'm saying. When do you see Mystery Train? It's got a young Steve Buscemi in it.
Yeah, because I don't think, I was then trying to think like, oh, what was the first movie I saw Steve Buscemi in? Is it Buscemi? Buscemi?
Yeah, Buscemi.
Buscemi? Buscemel?
I think he said he grew up saying it was Buscemi. And then he said he went to Italy and people were like, it's Buscemi. And he said, I had to go to Italy to learn that I said my name wrong. So it's Buscemi.
Well, at least he got to hear it wrong in Italy. We'll hear it right in Italy.
Yeah,
he got to learn a lesson in Italy.
In Italy. That's right. That's right. That's a good lesson to learn.
That was all I liked. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I liked this song. Trains keep running, moving on time.
So you're on the tube the other night.
All I also love the fact that number one, it's almost the only song, as Marcus mentioned, it's the only song that they play in the whole movie.
Right, right.
And so it's not the greatest song of all time, but you're like, hey, look at this song. Look at it, really kick things in different, and it's, they're at the bar, Eddie's at the bar where his girlfriend works, prior to her changing her identity and leaving the borough of Queens. But, and so there's a band playing in there, and there's some people that are acting like, hey, we're supposed to talk like we're in a loud place, even though there's no volume at the time when they're recording. And then some people are like, hey, Eddie Brennan, like, you're supposed to be in a loud bar with a band playing. And almost, and then when Eddie sits at the bar, they just have a conversation like any regular people had conversation. There's no like, what's that? Hey, that what? Like, they're in a bar. There's a band playing. It's loud. It should be. So I also, I enjoyed that. That made me laugh a little bit.
But you, oh, so you did laugh out loud during this movie?
No, but it made me smile.
Okay. But to be fair, they didn't say that those two characters weren't lip readers.
I mean, it didn't come up. You're right.
So they could have had that conversation and fully understood each other.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
so
they didn't not say it. They didn't say it. So,
I mean,
it really never came up at
all. But we can't say for sure that they weren't.
There's a lot of this movie. We breeze through the plot of the movie so fast because there's not a lot of details to go over.
No. In fact, that's one of the things I hated.
Oh, okay. Not a lot of details.
Well, not a lot of details. We covered this a little bit, but we never really got to understand what is the business workings of this mob group. I mean, they can't be making
mob
all
stuff.
Their money.
They do mob stuff.
They can't be making all their money by
cooking
fights.
They mob it out. They get back down.
No, they get back up, Ryan. Come on. You never get back down.
If you're in the mob.
Like, we don't know, are they smuggling drugs? Are they strong-arming stores? Are they, you know, taking payments from the Port Authority or anything? We never know. We just know that they are into fixing fights, which just doesn't seem to pencil out if you're trying to build an empire. But there's also another thing that I really hated about this movie, and that is when Steve Buscemi's character meets up with his mob contact in a bar. And he's in the bar, and the mob contact comes in, and he says, hey, you want a drink? And the mob guy says, come on, it's 11 a.m. I mean, that is the epitome of gaslighting. You are meeting in a bar. Mm-hmm. That's like meeting at a 31 Flavors and saying, hey, you want a hot fudge sundae? And the mob guy being like, well, I haven't had dinner yet. Jesus. I mean, you're in a fucking bar.
Mob guy never eats dessert before dinner. He's very strict.
Right. He's very strict on himself. He's going to throw shade at you like, how dare you be a savage?
There is an order to life.
Ice cream.
to be perfectly honest, I haven't even had lunch yet. What are you, going to jump to dinner?
What are you, nuts?
Right. Even in the mob, there is an order to life.
There is an order to life. Yeah, you're right. I mean, going to a bar and being like, no, I couldn't have a drink right now, but this is where I asked this to meet.
Exactly.
No, it's
makes
true. That's,
no
that's
sense.
Not particularly. Yeah, that's not fair. Erica, what did you hate?
Oh, everything. I hated everything. I thought that was obvious. I didn't like this movie. It felt like a watered
down. The Price
down...
Fighter?
Well, which
a watered
one?
Down
did
Price
this...
Fighter?
Did this come out before Price Fighter or
no,
after?
No, it came out after. Yeah.
After.
Price Fighter is what, 1979?
1979, right.
Yeah. And so this is 1987. So this is a good many years after.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And partially, you know, it had to do with a copy that we watched was really hard for me to hear because it was sort of garbled at times and we kept rewinding it. And I say rewind because it was a VHS. So we kept rewinding it to re-listen to it. And it it just didn't help. So that doesn't ever help for me. I'm not charmed by that. I can't power through it. I'm not someone who rises above. I instead get irritated. I go to sleep. I'm annoyed. I get woken up to stay in it and watch it. And come on, give it a second chance. Put your heart into it. And it just makes me more pissed.
Put your heart into it, Erica.
Yeah. And I couldn't. And so I didn't care for this movie because it was difficult to watch. And I think time has shown that when facing challenges, I prefer to just sleep it off.
It was a challenge. This one was a challenge for Erica. For me, I just didn't, kind of what we were talking about, this movie doesn't have a lot of details. Forget just mm-hmm. the mob. We don't know a lot of details of, like, anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't really get a good sense of Eddie's relationship before she breaks up with him. So, right. therefore, you know, the power of the breakup thing is kind of lost on us because we never really, I don't really know what the whole deal, I mean, I know they're dating, but how long, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff here that we don't really get a lot of information on. We don't really get to be with the characters a lot. And, you know, there are good scenes that do happen like that. There is a lot of, like, brooding intensity scenes. Sometimes maybe even a little too much where the camera's just pushing in on Brad Davis and you're like, what is he thinking about? And you're like, I don't know because I don't know this guy hardly at all.
Yeah.
But I do know that he
so
wants to be...
So many shots of him just thinking through stuff. Like, come on.
I mean, and I like, you know, movies that have characters thinking, but normally you have a better sense of who the character is, so you could maybe fill in those gaps, but I don't know him too well. All I know is that he wants to prove himself as a boxer again, even though he's getting older. And as a guy who's getting older, I can appreciate some of that, wanting to prove your value even though you're getting older. I can certainly, you know, hang with some of that. It's just... we didn't know a lot of details. It was hard to get super wrapped up into it. And I think a lot of this movie is made very well. I do think it's shot pretty well. Hard to tell from the VHS copy that we have. Though, you know, don't let that stop you from watching it on our YouTube channel. Because it is there right. And you can't watch it. It's the only way you can watch it right now. It's not on DVD. It's not on Blu-ray. So you kind of are going to have to watch it on the YouTube channel. On our YouTube channel. There might be another on the YouTube channel. You guys turn on the YouTube channel. I want to watch my stories. Dear Lord.
Yeah. What were you saying about getting older?
Is the my story on this week about the 10 ways to eat a hot dog on the YouTube channel? That's my favorite story. I love that story. Anyway.
Your YouTube history is wild.
It is terrible. anyway, so you know that's how you're gonna have to watch it. So yes, the copy is not great, but I will say, in terms of the sound, I found a review of this movie from a newspaper in, of all places, Indiana, Erica, where I believe that Hart had sort of a soft open. So it says the sound is awful. It's as though it were recorded underwater.
Mm-hmm.
To say this movie, yikes, this lady just, the Sherry Crawford's her name. She writes for the Evansville Courier and Press, and she did not like this movie. In fact,
terrific.
She has a snack bar rating system.
Yes.
0, Milk Dud, Snickers, Good and Plenty, Bit of Honey, or Powerhouse. It's a wide-ranging snack bar rating system, and this one got a 0.
Wow,
yeah, zero
snacks.
She did not
like this one. She got. She
it
got
didn't
this,
even get. She didn't even give it a bit of honey. Woo!
Bit of honey is pretty high up. I feel like Milk Dud. She didn't even give it a Milk Dud. She was like not in on this one.
Wait, what's her rating scale? Milk Dud's low or high?
I think it goes in order here. Can be named 0, Milk Dud, Snickers, Good and Plenty, Bit of Honey, or Powerhouse.
This bitch puts Bit of Honey in the silver medal.
I know.
You had me at I Hated Heart, and it sounds like shit, but you lost me at Bit of Honey and Powerhouse being your top two snacks. Sorry.
This snack. I mean, what's a better snack rating system?
But a honey's at the bottom.
Right.
Now, then, is this based, is your rating system based on like the quality of the snack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
I think she's doing it just on the wording of what the snack is, not on the actual snack. But go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you. Start bit of honey's at the bottom. How would you rank your
What do you mean the wording of the snack? Bit of honey is a good thing? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
Or powerhouse like is obviously great, and then it's a bit of honey. Like, I think that's a good one.
When you get to the bottom of all the candy that you grab for Halloween, the bit of honey is in the Tootsie Rolls are going to be the last on the list.
100%.
They're the ones at the bottom of the bag that you're
100%.
Like, 100%.
And what even is a powerhouse? Eating all the candies all at once? Just one bite of everything in your mouth?
It's like a suicide when you go to a fountain drink station.
Yeah.
Just take bites of each bar. So what is your system then, Erica?
For my candy ranking system?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first
of
all,
at the bottom.
It's short because you only need three. So bit of honey is the worst. Junior mints are in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then peanut M&M's are number one. Come on, let's go. Peanut M&M's mixed with popcorn? That's the tippy top. Not a lot ranks in there. Only like, you know, Creepshow 2 kind of style, you know?
Yeah, sure. Not everything can get in. Yeah, that's fair. Not everything gets the good ratings. That makes sense. All right. So let's go to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when Eddie is training and they're supposed to be sparring and they start actually fighting. And the two respective trainers
mm-hmm.
get into an argument about should they be sparring or should they be fighting. And they proceed to then get into a fight, which you would think two boxing trainers would know how to fight, but they just wrestle each other on the ground
mm-hmm.
and not a single punch is thrown. Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of it, one of the two trainers, and you can't tell which, makes the most absurd noise. What is happening?
Nice.
First of all, if I heard my trainer emit that noise out of his or her mouth, I would be firing them on the spot.
Mark's going to listen to that sound on repeat before bed. Just sleep, the sleep of a king. I'm asleep already. I love the sounds.
That was asinine.
I think that's the comedy moment of the movie. I think that's the one moment where they're playing some laughs there.
I still didn't laugh out loud though.
well, we just did now. We're listening to it. Well, that's because you listen to it and you're like, I got to record that and then play it in a loop,
right?
So I can get some decent rest.
Just play it in my car as I'm driving around.
Don't! You'll crash your car, you'll fall asleep.
You'll be too relaxed.
You'll be too chilled out. Sir, what happened? Your car wrapped around this tree. What happened? Like, well, listen.
Listen, officer.
The officer also falls asleep. What? Oh! Oh, did you play something? Did you play a sound on your stereo, sir? Sorry, I'm a real big ASMR guy, so.
I just like mine to be loud and whiny.
Yeah.
That's the kind of niche ASMR I'm into.
Z. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Eddie goes to his boss to ask for time off at work. It was just terrific. He basically goes in. He's like, hey, I got to fight. Need a couple weeks off work. And he's like, the boss is like, you got to get your life in order. This is nuts. And he's like, so see in a few weeks? Yeah, see in a few weeks. It was great.
I understood it, though, because when you do watch him work and you don't get to watch him for very long, but like most of Eddie throughout this movie, he's very quiet. He's not talking to anybody. He probably just doesn't say anything to anyone. He does his job quietly. And he's got no one else like that. The other guys are like,
Eddie is the best worker he has. Yeah.
He's like,
and he never takes a cigarette break. He never really eats lunch.
He just works and works and works quietly. Mm-hmm. And he's like, damn, I need that guy to stick around. Quit fighting just so I can have you all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like these other jackasses are always like chit chatting, doing jokes and bits, and you know, they're not doing the job. So I kind of got it. I figured I read between those lines.
Mark? Plus, that's the challenge of an unlimited vacation policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he getting paid during that time? Is that vacation?
Right. He didn't ask him to get someone else to cover a shift.
Stop ruining my favorite scene by fighting about it. God, just move on, Ryan. What was your favorite? Stop dissecting my favorite scene. Oh, lost him.
Well, my favorite scene, I think I already mentioned it. Trains keep running, moving on time. Down the track. Gears keep running, leaving behind. Yeah, I mean, it just needed this movie needed a few more energy boosts like those.
Mm-hmm.
We, know, sometimes like, you know, you have a guy that's not doing well, but some things have to go well of some kind, right? Like, you know, like it's like his relationship doesn't seem like it's even going very well. Like nothing in his life is going well. And if it's not going well, like let us at least have a conversation where they talk about how it was going well, but he's just down in the dumps because he can't win a fight. I don't know, something. You got to give me something. So that was just a breath of fresh air to have that band just get in there. And I was like, all right, let's mix it up. Let's do something new. All right. It's just tough. This is also like a pretty intense drama. You kind of know where it's going to go. I liked a lot of this movie. I hate to say it, unlike Erica. But
I did too.
It needed more. Like I was on its side. I wanted this movie. I was hoping this one was going to be a real gem. I knew this. I'd seen the poster art. I was like, this looks like this could be one of those movies. It's like kind of a little bit of a hidden gem at New World release. Eh, I don't know. You know, for people that love boxing movies, you might kind of like this one, but it just feels like half-baked. Not the movie, but the concept.
Right. But I would say too.
Isn't Steve Buscemi in that one?
I don't think he's in Half Baked. No, you are you confusing Jim Brewer and Steve Buscemi? Do you think those guys are the same?
Yeah, for a minute I was.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not the same. They're not the same guy. Though I would love to see Steve Buscemi do Goat Boy.
I was about to say the same thing.
I bet his Goat Boy is compelling and interesting. All right, I guess we're done with favorite scenes. Let's go to final. Let's go to final questions.
Story is
that's right. Not many of the final questions, but here we go. Have you ever smelled smelling salts?
No, I never have.
How would you know? Because you smell them to wake up. Come on, Ryan. Is that a trick question? How would you know that you smelled them? You smelled them because you passed out.
Well, when Eddie has the smelling salts in the very beginning of the movie after the fight, he kind of bats it away like, I'm good. And he says, no. Keep breathing this in. You need to like really wake up. So I don't know. I mean, I'm like, that's why I was like, I wonder what they, did they not smell good? Or I don't know. I mean, I've never smelled them. I have no idea. I've never had that moment.
You wouldn't know if you smelled them. You don't know if you've smelled them. Maybe you have.
So are you saying this from experience? Who of us knows how this goes?
The nose knows.
One of the trainers at my gym just said this week he was having sinus problems. And he's like, man, I really could use some smelling salts. And someone went, what? And he said, if you ever smelled smelling salts, if you smell that, it will clear up all of your sinuses. It just like totally wipes out whatever congestion you have.
I need to get some and have some right before the podcast. I don't really clear it all up.
I think you're supposed to just recreationally use them, though.
I don't know. I know nothing. None of us know anything about them. That's one thing we're learning. One thing we are learning, though, is that Mark owns a gym, which I didn't realize.
The gym I'm a member of. Sorry.
Hey, I love that you're that close with it. You're like, this is my gym. This is mine. Have you ever had a boss who was that cool with you taking that much time off? I know we've covered
this. No, never.
Yeah, me neither.
Never. No.
Me neither. That's the dream right there.
Hell yeah.
When the synopsis made it sound like, hell, he's just, a bum who just loads boxes for a living. And I'm like, it sounds like he's got the best job ever, because his boss is like, you need to get your act together, but also take all the time you need, and I'll see you when you get back. So I'm like, I don't know. Feels like this is a good job. Anyway, what is the thing that you can go 10 rounds on no matter what?
Sleep. I mean, done. Ding, ding, ding. I'm not even waking up for the bell. You can go 11 or 12 rounds. Doesn't matter. How many rounds do you need?
They're just leaving you on the mat. Everyone's just filing out, and you're just on the mat. And everyone's snoozing. Like, should we wake her up? Like, no, it's fine.
No.
Someone's grabbing for the smelling salts. They're like, don't do it. Don't do
They're
it.
They're like, you know pillow. What? Somebody already tried it. They already waved the smelling salts. Didn't do anything. Nothing.
She just,
no effect.
She rolled over. That's all that happened. It did not do anything. Let's do some quick research here. This movie is shot somewhere around May 1986 in New York. And I know this because I found a news article at May 14th, 1986, that they were looking for 800 extras for a prize fight scene at the Ridgewood Groves Arena on Nicholas Avenue. I believe that is in Queens. And that's for is a scene from Heart. Not a lot of other details other than that. From the AFI in May 1986, they reported, so 16th of May, so somewhere around that same time, they just had a report at the time they were shooting that Brad Davis did not know how to box when he was cast. He spent 2 weeks training and going to boxing clubs before filming began. They say spring 1986, so that matches with May. They say the film had a $1.5 million budget. I read in other places it had a $2 million budget, maybe somewhere in between 1.5 and 2. Who knows?
I'm surprised that he didn't know how to box, because he was actually quite effective. Like
it looked like he knew what he was doing.
The choreography for the boxing is really well done in this movie. It looks like... It looks like the actors take quite a few hits, like legit hits.
So and this is where the movie differs from Prize Fighter.
True. Very true. This is the only part that's different.
No offense to the late Tim Conway.
Also, this movie lacked the energy of a nine-year-old boy.
It did. It needed a nine-year-old kid just hanging around. Hey, Eddie, you gonna fight that big fight? It needed that a little bit. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Hey, where's your girlfriend, Eddie? Well, it's a long story. And to be honest, I don't know.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
I filed a missing persons report. They were like, we don't know. It's a mystery.
I actually don't know.
We truly don't know. We don't know. They did go to Cannes with this movie in May of 1987. But according again to AFI, they said in April of 1987, Daily Variety reported that New World Pictures acquired worldwide distribution rights, planned to release the film in winter of 1988. So that said, not 100% why they went to Cannes. So I don't know. I couldn't verify the April 1987 part of that report. So Randy Jurgensen, the co-writer and producer, took the film to Cannes, and it was entered in international competition, and it didn't receive awards, but apparently Jurgensen said that he was very encouraged by the critics' reception. And he told the Springfield News Sun in May 1987, he said, while he was at Cannes, he said, I figured out where business is being done, he said, but I can't figure out when. That's what he said about his experience at Cannes. Oh. That was funny.
This is confusing.
Oh, look who just woke up. Someone got some smelling salts under her nose.
He kept walking into ballrooms. It was all empty, and someone was walking out like, man, we just scored a great deal in here. How come my invite said 5 o'clock? It's 5 o'clock right now. Oh, yeah. But it really starts at 3.
Yeah. That's
like, God damn it.
Damn it. I can't figure this out. Was this movie originally going to be a cop movie? Jurgensen said in 1985, so a year before they started shooting, he said he was working on a movie that he had written called On the Deuce that was going to star Treat Williams. Mm. In fact, he told Mount Vernon Argus in June 1985, it's a police story full of excitement and drama. It's my kind of movie. And some interviews with Jurgensen about Heart, he talks about that's On the Deuce is the next movie they're going to do after Heart. But it looks like he was going to do it before. And I had found this small article, some little small blurb that I found that said that Brad Davis was going to play a cop in a movie written by Randy Jurgensen, but I could not find it again. I just was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm sure there's lots of articles like this. There wasn't, and I couldn't find it again when I tried to find it. Maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. But Jurgensen does talk to the Standard Star in August 1987, and they ask him, why didn't you make a cop movie? And he said, I'm limited with what I can do with $2 million. I couldn't do the cop movie I want to do. That requires more money. They're action-oriented. An action movie demands just that. Car chases, stunts, you have gunplay. I couldn't do that properly with $2 million. I need more money. So maybe this was going to be a cop movie at first, and then they went with that boxy script they wrote in the 1940s. And then it says, interviewer says, Heart sounds like Rocky, is it? Which is, by the way, a shitty, shitty question to ask somebody.
Right.
This movie sounds like another movie. Did you just rip off another movie? Tell me. It's an awful question. But he says, it isn't like Rocky. There's an ethical situation. The story of a man given a second chance regaining his integrity and respectability. He takes it, even though it may cost him his life. He was proving to himself he could not be bought. He's a winner. And I think that that's true, but it makes it sound like it's a question he's kind of dealing with throughout the movie. Now, had that been the movie, that probably would have solved any issue I had, and it would have been even more compelling, and I would have been like, what a winner. This is fantastic. Throughout the movie, and it's a question of, is he going to take the dive, or does he want to prove that he can not, you know, take a dive and take the money, that he just, maybe I can actually beat this guy and just do that. That's an interesting premise. So I don't know. Was that ever on the page? I don't know. But
instead, he's just a schlub who doesn't know what's going on.
But with a great job.
Yeah.
With a great, the great best boss. Yeah, great the job boss. May not be great, but a great boss.
Yeah.
True. This does open, like, as I said, in very limited release. In fact, playing at the AMC 14 in Century City in Los Angeles, which he opens on November 6, 1987. That's the only theater that it opens in.
Well, it's centrally located, and you've got 13 other movies you could possibly see. If
you get if it takes too long, your fancy. If traffic ruins your trip over to Century City, then, you know, there's 13 other films. It did arrive on VHS in March 1985. In fact, March 29th, and it goes out on video with a bunch of other New World movies. Let me tell you what they are. Flowers in the Attic, The Right Hand Man.
I haven't seen that one.
Nope, me neither. Time of Tears.
Nope, haven't seen that one either.
That's what came out on the 29th from New World Video. By the way, Heart was on sale for $79.95.
Jeez.
Worth every penny.
Which is a discount to Flowers in the Attic, which was on sale for $89.95. Time of Tears is a low price of $69.95. So, I mean, $70, and that film is yours. By April 19th.
It's a bummer if you're opening up that for Christmas. You're like, cool. Oh, awesome.
Oh, a movie. Oh.
Flowers in the Attic.
Time of Tears. When his grandfather dies, a young child is comforted by a friendship with an elderly man.
Hmm.
Ugh.
So, Home for Christmas? Is that essentially what that is?
What was the other one?
The Right Hand Man, which I believe is it's about a horse farm. Am I wrong?
The Right Hand Man. A stagecoach driver goes to work for a dying one-armed aristocrat in 1860s Australia. Stars Rupert Everett.
There you go. See? I knew it was Australian. Yeah.
Pass. Pass.
Merry Christmas, Erica.
Man. Damn it.
We thought you loved Rupert Everett. By April 1988, did Heart make it into Billboard's top 20 video rentals? No. But guess what did? There's two New World movies in the top 20 in 1988. What do you think that they are?
Flowers in the Attic. Oh, wait. Hellraiser?
Yes.
And The Wrong Guys.
You already said it. The Wrong Guys doesn't come out until 88. It did come out in 88. So it would have been, but yeah. I think it's later. I think it came out in theaters after there in 1988. But it is Flowers in the Attic. Flowers in the Attic is number 18 and Hellraiser is 14.
Oh, big money.
Just
big, big money.
Hellraiser right behind Made to Order. It's tough to beat. It's a tough one to beat.
It was a tough time back then.
I mean, to be honest, this list, there's Made to Order is doing pretty damn good, all things considered.
We were desperate for entertainment in 1988.
It's like Beverly Hills Cop 2, Princess Bride, you know, blah, 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 RoboCop, Platoon, and then Made to Order. Like, oh, damn. Made to Order is over. No one saw that coming. All right, well, that's it. That is it for Heart.
All right. Goodbye. Good riddance, Heart. Yay. Come to our website and have a great night.
That's it. Our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find all of our episodes and our articles and our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. Do us a favor. Buy a t-shirt or tell a friend. Say, hey, I heard this podcast about this boxing movie that they, I guess, liked. I don't know. I couldn't 100% tell. We did. We did like it. Some of us.
One of them definitely didn't.
Some of us did. Tell a friend about it. Tell them to check this out. Whether you've got more episodes to come, one more episode to go, March Madness. And then we're on to our April-themed month. You want to stick around and check out all those episodes and all our past episodes. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast. Bye, everybody. I get no-